Does anybody know what time it is? Well, it is. It's Super Bowl time, but it's that time of the year again when most Americans make what I said this morning. We make them and we break them. What am I talking about? New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to identify themselves, but usually we promise to eat healthier foods. Am I right or am I wrong? Usually we always promise ourselves that we're going to exercise more. Usually we what about this one? I'm going to lose weight. Oh, Pastor, I just eat all the time. Hey, I tell you, I rode with some men. I remember what's said here stays here. Most of them not. These men use the bathroom more than every hour up the road, somebody had to go to a rest stop. And then, of course, I had to get out and get a Mountain Dew or a Monster drink and something to eat. And then another hour down the road, they'd want to stop again. We'd eat a while and stop a while and eat a while and stop a while. So, but we had good intentions. Can I get an amen? Well, that's how it is with resolutions. Most of us, sadly, have fallen prey to the never-ending cycle of failed resolutions. Now, I was reading a great article by Redunda. I love her name. Her husband's a pastor down in Memphis, Redunda Noble. And she had some principles, some simple ways to make the Bible a priority. A lot of people, I'm going to read more of the Bible this year, Brother Ted. I'm going to come to church more often. I'm going to do this, and I resolve to do that. In a moment, I'm going to give you four principles that will help you to grow in your level. You all are serious about God's Word, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Is it raining out there?
Yeah.
Is there a football game going on? Any Seattle Seahawks fans here tonight? Yeah. You remember one? I started to say Atlanta Braves fans, New England Patriot fans? Listen. Yeah, if the Detroit Lions were on TV tonight, you know where I'd be. Yeah, right here in God's house. Come on and stand with me, and I'm gonna share with you a pearl right now. Listen, in verses 1-8, the psalmist is writing in Psalm 119. Go to verse 11. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I want you to read verses 1-8 in your quiet time, because even I have to be reminded from time to time, those who obey the Lord, that's what the psalmist is talking about in verses 1-8. Those who obey the Lord, it starts with a B, and you need a vowel? Right. Well, give me the word. What is it? Those who obey the Lord are
blessed.
Thank you. Say that with me again. Those who obey the Lord are
blessed.
Some of you still not getting it. Those who obey the Lord are
blessed.
Amen. I'm not saying that the sun is not going to, the skies won't darken and you won't have a little rain in your life. We're not exempt from bad things, but the Bible is very clear. Those who obey the Lord are blessed. Now look at verse 11. Thy word have I what?
Hid
in my heart that I might not what?
Sin.
Yeah.
Against thee.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we're going to talk about that verse. We're going to talk about four principles that will help you to grow and bear more fruit and receive more rewards when you stand before your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How does
amen.
That sound?
Amen.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, Bible's high up in the air. And is it behind me? Well, not yet. Well, you don't even worry about it. Just follow me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
Tonight, I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same.
Never, never, never.
I will never be the same
in Jesus'
name.
Amen and amen.
I don't know what's going to come out. Jesus, my Lord, love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
I tell you, she has such a delicate, such an angelical voice. She reminds me of Sister Rachel. Y'all gonna have to, two of you little angels are gonna have to do a duet together. Amen? That'd be awesome. Remember my wife tonight, speaking of angels, she was down in her back, and the sermon that I'm getting ready to preach to you, bless her heart, she said, honey, when you come home tonight, she said, would you share that with me? I said, yes, I'll be sure and take notes and give you the very same passages that I'm going to give the church. You're waiting on me in Psalm 119, verse 11. I won't keep you long tonight. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm going to give you a few simple ways to make the Bible a priority. Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to give every one of you a few simple ways to make the Bible a priority and to begin a spiritual resolve for the rest of your life. People expect a pastor to study. We're expected to study. I saw a survey, though, Brother Brian Henley, that just scared the daylights out of me. The majority of pastors who are in the Bible are studying only for one thing, and that is for Sunday or for a Wednesday night sermon. I feel convicted when I'm just simply not in the Bible to read it, to allow God to speak to my... Certainly, I study, and certainly when I get into the Bible, I'm wanting to grow and I'm wanting to learn new things. But getting in the Bible is extremely important for you and your one-on-one time with God. So if you want to grow in your level of intimacy, and I'm assuming that you want to grow, you wouldn't be here tonight, because I told everybody this morning what this message was all about. It's one of those kind of sermons that I wish and pray and hope that the Lord will give me liberty to preach on a Sunday morning. Can you imagine if we were to catch fire a Sunday morning, what might happen on Sunday night and Wednesday night? I've said it before, windows could be knocked out legally, of course. Walls could come down. This church has not seen, as somebody tried to encourage me just recently, they said, Pastor, this church has not seen its best days yet. I believe it may have been Miss Margaret. So please, when you think about it, give Miss Margaret a call and let her know that we missed her and Barney today. All right, a few simple ways to make the Bible a priority. Ready on my left? Ready on my right? Get ready to write. Start a daily Bible reading plan. I know that sounds very simplistic. Start a daily Bible reading plan. Now, my wife has an app. She has an app on her phone. It's super easy to download a Bible reading app these days on your smartphone or tablet. Simply choose a plan that interests you and then get started. I'm not a high-tech person. I'm just not. So you know what I use? I use a daily bread. I start with a daily bread. Now, I can go on the computer and get it going that way because you have some narration. I follow along with it. But you need, how long does it take for a habit, whether it's good or bad? How many times do you have to do something habitually before you begin to do it regularly? All right, you already know that. In order for you to grow, you're going to have to make time to be with God. So start a daily Bible reading plan. If you can't read the Bible the first moment when you get up, if it's 9 or 10 o'clock, all I'm set aside a time and spend it with the Lord. One of my favorite illustrations, and I don't know if somebody, another preacher, said this, told me this, or if I read it, I just don't remember. But there was a young Indian brave who was having a nightmare, and this white wolf was fighting the black wolf, and the black wolf the next night would attack the white wolf, and they were fighting all the time. Kind of like me and Brother Jerry, man, fighting them beds and pillows. I'd turn one way, he'd turn another way, and I couldn't. Did you get any sleep? I didn't get any sleep at all. I'll save that for another sermon. Yeah, machine went on, the motor heater went on, it went on and off, all right. So finally he goes to an old Indian, have you remember this story? He goes to an old Indian medicine man, and he said, I've had this dream. He said, the white wolf fights with the black wolf, and then the black wolf fights with the white wolf. He said, ultimately, who will win this battle? And the old Indian chief thought about it and said, brave warrior, the one whom you feed the most. The one whom, that's deep. That's some deep theology there. So if you're feeding yourself day in and day out, soap operas, hello. You know, you spend, hey, pastor, I heard you. I listen, man. I spend 2 or 3 minutes a day in the Bible, 2 or 3 minutes. Well, that's less than the average, which is 7 minutes. How do you spend your time? And you already know. You don't need me. I don't want to follow you, and you probably don't want to follow me. All of us, if we're brutally frank with one another, we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. And so, remember, as your thinking changes, your behavior changes. Start a daily Bible reading. Number two, memorize Scripture. Boy, did we get burnt in Atlanta. You need to strive. Here's a great verse, Psalm 119. Thy word, say it with me. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Stop right there. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why in the world would you memorize Scriptures? Why would you memorize that verse? Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not what? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but when I start to sin, think about sinning, I've got Bible verses coming at me right and left from the Holy Spirit who lives inside me. Still have a choice. God has not taken away my free will. He's not taken away your free will. But how many times do we try to quote a verse only to forget a portion of it? Or maybe we can't even remember a chapter and a verse when sharing our faith with someone. Why do we attend church but refuse to read the Bible? It's no wonder that researcher George Barna, listen what Barna called Americans biblically illiterate. For Christians, memorizing Scripture is the best way to hide God's Word in our hearts. It may seem like a simple thing to do, but it's when you start getting by the way, how many books in the Bible do you know? If we started in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, verses, how many of those could you quote? This is sad, but most of what I learned as a small child going to vacation Bible school. Why? Because young children, their minds are like a sponge. My mind is like a mop, a dirty mop at that. Yeah, you're laughing, but listen, you have to guard your mind and your heart and your tongue. How do you do it? Start with a daily Bible reading plan. Memorize Scripture. Number three, journal meaningful verses. Write a journal. Keep a journal. I've started doing this, and I think I shared this with you several weeks ago. Maybe it was several months ago. Keep a journal of the verses that mean the most to you. Has God answered any prayers? God answered some prayers today for me. Lord, Wednesday, what did we pray for? We prayed for families searching for churches. We prayed for visitors. Did we have a slew? Is that a good word, a slew? A plethora? I like that. We had a plethora of visitors. Listen, I shared this with Brother Jerry, and he will amen this. If you ain't expecting God to show up, there's a high probability he ain't going to come. Now, you hear me say this, but there needs to be an expectation that when God shows up, things are going to happen. Well, how does he show up? When you begin to pray. When you begin to walk right, talk right, share the gospel the way and love the way God wants us. I've been writing in a journal. Ladies, I know you call it a diary. Men, it's a journal. And that you ought to write meaningful verses when you're in your quiet time with God, something that moves you. When there is a prayer that is heard and answered, you ought to write it down. Keeping a journal is one way that you and I can grow and become encouraged and strengthened or challenged. Write down what God is teaching you and what you need to change to obey Him fully. All of us, you've heard me say it before, and I learned it from Johnny Hunt. Well, actually, I didn't learn it from Johnny Hunt. He already knew what I already knew. We sin from the pulpit all the way down to the pew. But you hold a pastor to a higher standard of accountability, don't you? That was pretty weak. That wasn't a trick question. Do you hold a pastor to a higher standard of accountability? Well, guess what? That same standard you hold me to, how many of you are Christians in it? You know it. God holds you to the same standard. Now, you may not like that, but if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, we're held to the same standard. All right, how many have I given you so far? This is pretty good. Can I get an amen? You see, start a Bible reading plan. I love the daily bread. Do we have any out there? If you don't have one, they're free. Tonight only, we're going to start charging $5. Where are my deacons at? $5 for those. Well, hey, we'll get these offerings up. $5. No, they're free. They don't cost anything. And yet sometimes, I think we had about a half a box full because somebody didn't want them or they forgot to put them out. We just take them to the, let me tell you, they want the daily bread in the Montgomery County Jail. Can't wait to receive. And if I go into the jail and I've got a daily bread, I'm only taking because we're limited in the daily breads that we have. Oh, it's like a feeding frenzy, Randy. They can't wait. Do you have any more of those? It's sad when I have to say, no, I don't. And yet here we have them. And they're just lying around in a box. How tragic. All right. Remember, start a daily Bible reading plan. You can download a Bible reading app these days or do like me and get you a daily bread. Memorize scripture. Journal. Keep a diary. Journal meaningful verses and write down ways that God is teaching you and challenging you to obey Him. Is this number four? This is probably the most important time because you can't do any of these other things until you get alone with God. Get alone with God. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and put it on the Jumbotron. Luke, well, we like the, men, did we love the grass? When you went into the sanctuary at First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia, man, that it was all bright and colorful. Wasn't it beautiful? Look at verse 12. Are you there? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at it. Somebody read it out loud. Still turning. All right. Nobody's got there yet. Somebody read it. Go ahead. Stand up and read it. No. I don't know that some of you listen. Some of you still turning pages. Listen to this. Now it came to pass in those days that who went out to pray? Jesus. And where did he go? To a mountain to pray. And how long did he pray? Praying all night. Can I get an amen? Let me close with a story. Because you've got to get alone with God. Listen, I'm going to get alone with God. Did I tell you that my wife wants to have a Bible study when I get home? We'll give her these principles. She's already practicing these. But my time with God, you know, how many times have you? My time with God is my time with God. RJ, your time with God is your time with God. The wife's time with God is her time with God. And so it is for all of you. I'm going to spend some time with my family tonight and go over some of the things that I've shared with you because they weren't able to come back here tonight. But the heart of prayer is prayer from the heart. I don't know who to give credit, but I love that quote. The heart of prayer is prayer from the heart. How many of you have ever been to one of those Yankee states? Every once in a while we have some snow here, but I grew up in Michigan. Have you ever been in one of those northern states when there's a lot of snow? Let me share this story with you. I'll get you out of here. I told you it'd be short. This man had relatives in Michigan. He said, when the snow flies in Michigan, he said, I like to get my grandkids, grab our plastic sleds, go slipping and sliding down our backyard. He said, we zoom down the hill for about 10 seconds, then we climb back up for more. When we grew up in Michigan, man, that's what you do in the wintertime. You go sledding. I can remember when we moved to Trigg County, we had a big old hill, and my brother and I, we'd like to race sleds. Have you ever raced sleds? You get halfway down that hill, and then you jump off your sled and knock your brother off in the head with it. save that for another sermon. Love your brother. Well, anyway, this man said he loved these 10-second hills. He called them a 10-second hill in Michigan. He listen to this. He said, when I travel to Alaska with a bunch of my teenagers, we also go sledding. He said, we're hauled by bus nearly to the top of a mountain. We jump on our sleds, and for the next 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the level of bravery, we slide down that mountain at breakneck speeds, holding on for dear life. Can you imagine 10 seconds? 10 minutes. He said, here's the analogy. Listen, this is good. Oh, man, I like this. He said, 10 seconds in my backyard or 10 minutes down an Alaskan mountain. They're both called sledding, but there is clearly a difference. I've been thinking about this in regards to prayer. Sometimes we do the 10 seconds in the backyard kind of pray, the kind of praying that you and I would call a quick spur-of-the-moment prayer. Hello, you know what I'm talking about? Pray one of them. Yeah, a couple of times we went out and ate. Pastor, has this food been prayed over? Yes. I think it cost me a whole 5 seconds. Lord bless this food. Amen. But I prayed. It was quick. You pray just like that. Why did it get so quiet? You know you've prayed just like that. And then at other times, we're drawn to the down the mountain types of praying, extended, intense times that require concentration and passion on our part as far as our relationship with Him is concerned. I got to tell you something. You may disagree with me. That's all right. We can agree to disagree. But I believe with all my heart, both of these, the 10-second prayers and the 10-minute prayers have their place and are vital in our lives. Remember this, church, when you leave here tonight, Jesus prayed often and sometimes for a long time. By the way, whether it's a 10-second prayer or a 10-minute prayer, we need to bring the desires of our heart to the God of the backyards and the mountains of our lives. Is that great or what? If you want to grow, then you have to make a concerted effort. And it begins tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Father God, please, you have me this week, tonight, this weekend, challenge us to be more vigilant, pray constantly, to spend more time in your word, to memorize more scripture, to journal meaningful verses. Father, help us to set aside time to get alone with you. And as we face the valleys and the hills and the mountains of our lives, it's my prayer that this church, this pastor, the leadership of this church, may we lift up our hearts and minds to you in constant communication. Amen. You can stand. I'm going to give it a hymn of invitation. We always do. I never want to assume that all of you are saved. I know I am. You're saved and you know it's saved.